Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. Have you ever heard of an austere year? A year of tightening the belt, cutting back, managing inventory for the sake of greater growth in the future? Mr. Armstrong, the late founder of the Worldwide Church of God, Herbert W. Armstrong, conducted an austere year for God's work back in 1963. This is from his coworker letter, September 25th, 1963. Now, let me tell you the news. We have just had the annual meeting of the Board of Trustees. In order to hold property and conduct this work, it became necessary many years ago before the college started to incorporate this work. It was also necessary to incorporate the college after it was founded. Otherwise, of course, it could not hold property or confer degrees. I was able to present to each board a report of the greatest year's growth and accomplishment of any previous year by far. God has blessed his work abundantly. Our fiscal year in our business office for keeping the records ends each June 30th. This past year, more people heard Christ's gospel over the air and read it in the plain truth than ever before. More than 22 million people every week. Quite an impressive number of people were being reached by God's work way back in 1963. 22 million people per week. And we know that the audience of God's work got probably into the hundreds of millions at one point in the early 1980s. So the work would grow quite a bit from this point in 1963. But it was always very encouraging to Mr. Armstrong to see growth. Mr. Armstrong was always searching for fruits. He was digging, he was planting, he was pruning the tree and bringing forth fruit. Mr. Armstrong continues in this coworker letter, more people have been converted and baptized, now living changed lives than ever before. Many, many hundreds. More qualified and fully trained, dedicated and consecrated ministers were ordained than ever before to serve out in the field around the world. Men have been sent to Australia, the Philippines, Germany, Switzerland, South Africa, and are now stationed there, in addition to those stationed at various points all over the United States. Some graduated from the college in England, have been sent to posts in the United States, others to Scotland, Germany, and locations in England. And I am especially happy and grateful to be able to report to you that our austere year is producing results beyond expectations. Well, there it is. In the midst of all this staggering growth of God's work in 1963, with the message reaching 22 million people over the air and in print every single week, with hundreds being baptized, with many men being ordained as ministers and sent out around the world to serve God's church, during all this abundant growth, the work was actually in the middle of an austere year. Mr. Armstrong was having to very carefully monitor the resources of the work. He wanted to make sure he was a good steward of the resources that God had blessed the work with. Mr. Armstrong continues here, again, from this 1963 coworker letter. Once again, let me explain what this austere year is. Some still seem to misunderstand. One coworker somehow got the idea that it meant God had withdrawn his blessing from his work, that God was withholding money for the operation of the work. That is not the case at all. The austere year was not put in effect because of any reduction in financial income. On the contrary, as this work has grown at the phenomenal rate of 30% a year for the past 30 years, the income to operate it also has increased 30% a year. Otherwise, the work could not have continued to grow. You see, greater output, greater expenses for the work. And so Mr. Armstrong had to become an expert at managing resources. Mr. Armstrong didn't want the tithes and offerings of loyal members and co-workers to go to waste. Mr. Armstrong made sure that these resources were put to good use to deliver the good news of the coming kingdom of God around the world to the largest audience possible, fulfilling Matthew 24, verse 14. Mr. Armstrong continues, but such a fast-growing work does involve and force upon us financing problems. It has been difficult to keep expenditures down to a 30% increase each year. Let me assure you that we have managed to do that and keep our obligations within our income, even though it has been difficult. It would have been far easier to have committed ourselves to increased expenditures of 40% or 50% a year. This we had to resist, or obviously the work would have gone bankrupt and been stopped long ago. So, God does want his work to grow. Mr. Armstrong desperately wanted growth, and he pursued growth relentlessly. However, the austere year in 1963 was all about growth in wisdom. Growth within the proper bounds. And I just think there's a lot of depth to a subject like this. We can really apply this in our personal lives in a lot of different areas. Measuring our lives for spiritual growth, measuring our contributions to God's work in prayer and otherwise, and making sure that we are extending ourselves and expending our effort and devoting our resources to doing this work. However, it has to be done in wisdom. Trying for too big of growth all at once, an overnight impossible change, can lead to really drastic failure and resulting discouragement. It can lead to burnout as we overextend, trying to reach overly ambitious new goals. We have to just focus on growing steadily within a reasonable expectation. And then there can be some surges in growth when appropriate. But you're not just going to see growth like a rocket ship shooting into outer space necessarily every single day. A lot of time it just takes constant, steady effort, one foot in front of the other. Mr. Armstrong could have easily gotten overeager during this austere year in 1963. And despite the 30% growth, he could have spent 40 or 50% more and still plunged the work deeper and deeper into debt. We could even look at ourselves financially and learn a lot from Mr. Armstrong's wisdom in managing the resources of the work. How often do people that make millions of dollars or get a massive pay increase, still struggle to stay out of debt. Because not only do they want to pay their bills, but they want to buy every possible luxury and every kind of convenience imaginable to keep up with the Joneses. And so someone who's making $500,000, $1 million or more, even tens of millions of dollars, might be struggling to make ends meet. Because all of a sudden you have more money, you have more things that you just think you need, that you have to have. And sure enough, the spending outpaces the increase in income. Mr. Armstrong really needed a lot of discipline not to spend the work into a pit. Yes, the work was growing, but overspending would have really hurt the work. Mr. Armstrong says here, again, this is from the September 25th, 1963 coworker letter. "This work of God, as I have explained many times, started the very smallest. When God is starting a work through human instruments, he always starts at the very smallest and then causes it to grow. It took real faith to be able to pay out $2.50 per week for radio time back in 1934. But today God's work has grown to a worldwide power, carrying Christ's message to more than 22 million people every week. Today, a million people read The Plain Truth every month. Today, some 50,000 students are enrolled in the Ambassador College Bible Correspondence course. Today, 500 students are resident on our two college campuses being trained for future service in God's work. Today, scores of specially trained ordained ministers are serving people who have been brought to Christ through this work in all parts of the world. Today, it is necessary to appropriate millions of dollars a year for the powerful operation of this great work." Do you ever stop and think how you would do at managing millions of dollars a year? Would you successfully pace the growth to match the income, or would you outspend and go into debt anyway? I think about that a lot. Would I be disciplined if I all of a sudden had all this extra money to throw around? Notice this interesting parable in Luke chapter 14, starting here in verse 28. "For which of you intending to build a tower sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" Verse 29, "Lest haply after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, sits not down first and consults whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an ambassage and desires conditions of peace." That's Luke 14, verses 28 through 32. And basically, right here, Jesus Christ is saying, count the cost. Really think ahead and measure. See if you actually have a good plan before plunging in head first. Obviously, this is mainly a passage about committing to God at baptism and following God for the rest of our lives, but it really can apply in so many other ways too. Like Christ says here, if we're building a physical building and then we run out of money halfway through and we leave this haunting husk of a structure just half built, a lot of people are going to think that was a pretty foolish decision. or a king going to war against an enemy force that doubles his size. In most cases, that's going to lead to a bloody defeat. And so we have to be considerate of all the factors. We have to use wisdom before we act on a decision. And in God's church, we have a lot of people, a lot of ministers, a lot of wise counsel available to us to help us make the right decisions according to God's law. Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Flurry has a booklet based on the epistle of James. And in that booklet, I believe, he's talking about how we really need wisdom. We really need wisdom. It's a desperate need. We need the wisdom to make the right decision, to seek counsel before we make a decision, instead of asking for counsel after we've already made a mistake. And it can be a really huge problem. Mr. Flurry says he's seen people make devastating decisions in their career, in their family, in who they decide to marry, in making a major purchase. And they get themselves in this dire situation that could have been avoided had these people counted the cost, had they really sought counsel in the first place before making the decision. So like I said, this austere year by Mr. Armstrong in 1963 really can apply to our lives in so many different ways. Making godly decisions, managing our own finances, measuring our own support for God's work, seeing if there are areas we can sacrifice and expend more effort to move the work forward. Again, growth with wisdom, growth within the proper bounds, not growth that plunges us into debt or burns us out. Mr. Armstrong says here in this 1963 coworker letter, when this work was operating on an expenditure of some $5 per week total, we were able to manage when today's money came today or even tomorrow. It wasn't even necessary to handle the financing through the bank then, but today it could be handled in no other way, and this of necessity requires a limited reserve at the bank. That is why I put the austere year into effect, and I feel we ought to continue it a second year. Already since last February, we have made very satisfactory gains in this cash position at the bank. This has been accomplished by reducing certain expenditures temporarily where it has not slowed the forward growth of the work in any vital phase of it. The austere year. A brilliant plan, probably inspired by God, put into effect in God's work by Mr. Armstrong. The austere year. Managing the resources, making sure the growth of the work matches the expenditures and not outspending the growth, not growing by 30%, but then spending 40 or 50% more and still being in debt. Mr. Armstrong knew it was important to have cash in the bank. Maybe savings or an emergency fund, you could say. In America today, most people are living paycheck to paycheck. When it is recommended that we have at least $1,000 in the bank just for an emergency fund. And then you have short-term savings for different operational expenses like getting a vehicle repaired, or making a purchase like a new dishwasher or something like that. Then you have long-term savings, savings that theoretically you shouldn't touch, savings for your children, savings for your retirement, all kinds of things like that. We have a booklet available to you for free at thetrumpet.com titled Solve Your Money Troubles. And it really does go through all the practical, tangible basics, setting a budget, getting out of debt, investing, giving to God, really just getting God involved in the financial aspect of our lives. But this austere year by Mr. Armstrong in 1963, which he wanted to continue into 1964, really is a wonderful lesson for all of us about counting the costs. Luke 16 talks about being faithful in the little things. You know, our money, our health, our time, measuring, taking inventory of our growth in these areas, setting reasonable goals to make sure that we continue to grow without burning ourselves out, without failing spectacularly and getting discouraged because the goals were set too high, because we figuratively outspent our growth. Notice here, Matthew 6. Again, this isn't just a lesson from God's work that we can apply financially. We can all have an austere year where we measure ourselves, where we recalibrate our expectations based on previous growth, set reasonable goals moving forward for even more growth in support of the work in our personal lives. It's not just a financial lesson, though. Notice here, Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Really, it's a spiritual point. It's about committing ourselves to God. We can have an austere year where we make a few cutbacks, simplify our lives, make some sacrifices so that God's work can move forward even more. And we just constantly take inventory. Where are we? How are we doing in relation to God's law? Are we really making the most of our time, our energy, all of our resources that God has blessed us with? Are we doing everything we can to lay up treasure in heaven, putting God first? Are we really making sure that we grow with wisdom, counting the cost, committing to God, moving forward steadily, growing all the time? Maybe it's time for you, for me, to try having an austere year, sharpening our focus so we can move forward and grow so much more. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Behind the Work.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 12 p.m. Central Time.